3. Let's bring in our friend on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, Duke Ellingson. Wrapping up week 3 of the NFL. How are you doing this morning, Duke?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys?
Good. Condolences, by the way, on your Patriots. Simmer has already taken back his Patriots will play in the Super Bowl prediction. You didn't predict that, so kudos to you on that.
But, I can't believe he's bailing on that already. It's only been 3 games.
That's Simmer. That's Simmer in a nutshell right there.
Sure enough.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I don't know. Where do you, what's, if there were a bunch of stories from yesterday. We went through a bunch in the last half hour. What of the storylines from the NFL from yesterday most caught your eye and ear?
You know what? I mean, to me, I think it's what's going on in Kansas City. Everybody's pretty much odds-on favorite to come out of the AFC. And for all the reasons that we've seen over the last couple of years with a seemingly unstoppable offense. But, I mean, I think the combination of what the strength of that division early has been quite surprising. And obviously the Chiefs find themselves in last place. But to me, it's how they've lost and how they've played. I mean, they've given up over 31 points per game in the first 3 weeks, and they've turned the ball over multiple times in the two losses. And, you know, those are combinations for disaster in the NFL. And right now, I don't really care. It feels a little bit to me, too, that I know Patrick Mahomes has got a lot of credit in the bank after his start to his career, but it feels a little bit like he's just saying, I'm going to make any play I want to make, and I'm going to take any chances I want to take. And that throw at the end of the game when it was still a tie game, you know, no quarterback in the NFL should make that decision to make that throw, but he's just done it for so long and everybody expects it to work out. So to me right now, it's the Chiefs cannot stop anybody. And offensively, it just feels like they're really loose with the ball and loose with their decision making and just feeling like they're good enough to beat everybody. And right now it's not happening. So that's going to be something really interesting for me to watch in the next several weeks as the season begins to really evolve.
Duke, tough to hate the Chiefs, and I don't think anybody on the planet hates Mahomes. But as things start to tighten up on this crazy, crazy salary and they lose more and more players and maybe more games, do you think there'll be a bit of backlash on that?
Well, I mean, that's a long way off in the future, and I mean, the guy is unbelievably popular, and rightly so. I'm not trying to demean anything about him or his skill set. I just think, they've invested literally everything in him, and he's paid off in spades for them. Ultimately, you can't, just like in any other salary cap sport, you can't pay too many guys high-end salaries and then not have it affect the back end of your roster. And in the NFL, especially with injuries and the requirement to have so many guys available, it could come back to haunt them. But right now, it's simply to me a matter of them trying to figure out, how do we stop teams from just piling up points and yards and don't ask Mahomes and his offense to score 30, 35 points a game.
The bad news is the Chiefs are in last place at 1-2. The good news is the Chargers, who are probably the second best team, are just one game ahead of them at 2-1. The two teams at the top of the division are both 3-0. So listen, you can only beat who's put in front of you. I get that, but Denver's three opponents are a collective 0-9, and the Raiders appear to be doing it with mirrors. But they're doing it again. They're 3-0. They've won two games in overtime. Which of those two teams do you think has the best chance, Denver or the Raiders, of maybe continuing at least some modicum of success?
Well, you know, it's interesting because Denver reminds me of what happened in New England 2 years ago when they got off. I think they were 8 or 9-0 when they had just played literally nobody and everybody thought they were going to go to the Super Bowl and then started to play some good teams and things kind of fell off the rails a little bit. But if you ask me right now, Denver's the better team. As you said, JR, Las Vegas has won two games in overtime, had all kinds of poor decision-making, clock management that has not come back to haunt them and to win both games in overtime like they did, that's not sustainable. Denver has got a very, very good defense. They've got, a great game manager quarterback now in Teddy Bridgewater, and they've got some weapons, and I think they're a much more solid team on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I would end up agreeing with that. Do you feel like the Raiders are a little bit like we saw with the Steelers last year, where, again, feel like there's going to be a collapse where almost everything has gone their way?
Well, the big difference between those two franchises are, you've got a relatively young quarterback in Derek Carr, and I think he's played really, really well. You could make a case that he's in the conversation for MVP so far this year, whereas, of course, in Pittsburgh it was Roethlisberger and, barely hanging on. So I think there's a big difference there. But, yeah, I don't think we've seen – and let's face it, I mean, the divisional games in the AFC West haven't happened yet. So until these teams start to play each other, we'll get a much better picture. And I think coming up this week, I think it's the Chargers and Vegas on Monday night or something like that. So, so we'll start to see how things shape up. And I agree with JR. I think that of the three teams we're talking about right now, not counting Kansas City, I think the Chargers are the team that's on the biggest upswing.
I love Justin Herbert. You know, I watched him a little bit last year, but I've watched the last two games in their entirety against the – now, he threw a couple bad passes against Dallas, but yesterday, I think, dude, this guy – well, he already is great, and it's, you know, he's a sixth overall pick, so it's not like he's coming out of nowhere, but he looks to me like he's going to be, by the end of the year, a top three quarterback in the NFL. He's not there already.
100%, and you can tell already that Brandon Staley and that whole organization just have so much faith in him putting the game in his hands like they did yesterday. I wasn't a big fan of the decision to throw the ball and score the touchdown in that situation. Now, listening to Staley after the game, he talked about the wind at the stadium was really quite tricky, and he was a little bit concerned about all of that. And I get that you got yourself up a touchdown, but when they missed the extra point, I thought, here we go, they're gonna ruin the day. But anyways, no, you're right. He's so strong. The ball comes out of his hands just like he's got a rocket of an arm. He's very confident. And he's got great weapons around him, too. So, boy, are they ever in a good position there.
Yeah, he really can high point his throws, and he's got some great past receivers as well. Do you think Big Ben is cooked, or is it more that Pittsburgh's offensive line is struggling so much?
Well, those two things usually go together, but I think we're just talking simply about a guy that's run out of gas. And, I mean, he was never going to scramble. I mean, he would scramble behind the line of scrimmage and swat defenders away while he looked downfield. But now it looks to me like he has no ability to move even sort of laterally. I don't know what's wrong with his arm strength. Everything seems to be aimed. And, you know, Cincinnati is a much better team, I think, than we all thought. But they're not that good, and that's been really, if you think about the way they got away with the win in Buffalo, that's three straight games. That offense has done almost nothing.
How impressive was Stafford just slaying the dragon yesterday, and the entire team for that matter?
Yeah, I think you see what the vision that Sean McVay has for that offense really looks like with a quarterback that he knows can handle, you know, the whole game plan, handle all the throws, handle pressure. They're a pretty complete team on offense. There was a little bit of a narrative last night that they'd somehow really derailed the Tampa Bay offense. I'm not quite sure that was the case. It was more that Tampa, they rolled up a ton of yards. They just couldn't finish drives with the way LA did, and then Tampa's giving up. Talk about a team that can't stop anybody. Their secondary is just letting guys run free all over the place. Stafford is the key to what McVay wants to do. And if they stay healthy, that's a really, really good team. And, too early to say right now they're the best team in the NFC, but, yeah, they are very, very solid across both sides of the ball.
They are tied with Arizona for top spot, so we'll ask you of Arizona like we asked of Denver and the Raiders. Contender or pretender?
You know what? I mean,
they've beaten, just to bring everybody up to date, they've beaten Tennessee, they've beaten Minnesota, and they've beaten Jacksonville.
For sure. Not exactly murderer's row, for sure. I was about to say I'll give Simmer some props because he did pick them as one of his wild card teams in our playoff predictions.
But I did?
Yeah. It's a little case. Yes, you did. The only
it's
one.
Okay, I picked Atlanta.
Yeah, I wasn't going to mention that. I picked Seattle, so anyways. But until they play the quality, and I think they play the Rams coming up this week, right, which will be obviously a litmus test for them. But no, I mean, you know, you beat who you beat, but you look at some of the way they got behind in that game and the ridiculous decision that Kingsbury made to try to 68-yard field goal at the end of the half. I mean, it was just ridiculous. So, you know, they got to be much smarter with the ball. They got to keep Kyler Murray healthy, obviously. But they've got, we talked about early in the year, they've got the front four now with Watt and Chandler Jones, and they've got some good pieces back there. So, are they a legit 3-0 if you line them up with the Rams? No, but we're going to find out a lot more about them next Sunday.
Are the Bills the class of the division, and maybe not even close at this point, dude? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, boy, they looked really good yesterday, and that's a head scratcher to me too. And we talked a lot in the preseason about Washington and their great defense, and you know the two studs up front, and they've been just gashed by everybody, and yesterday was no exception. But yeah, I mean Buffalo got off to that little shaky start at home. Maybe there was just too much adrenaline, too many expectations. They've really calmed the ship now and look really, really good. And Josh Allen back to making all kinds of Mahomes-like plays, and they're so balanced on offense, they're going to be really, really tough.
So there are five rookie quarterbacks who have started games so far this year at Duke. They played 11 games. How many of those 11 do you think the rookie quarterbacks have won?
Well, I know Mac Jones has got one.
Yes.
Let me think here. The others got to be. So it's one and whatever.
Yeah.
What's left.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. One. And that was over Zach Wilson, who is another rookie quarterback.
Good point.
Collectively, the rookie quarterbacks are 1-10. And, you know, four of them are first rounders. And then Davis Mills of Houston is the other. Does this speak to the difficulty, A, of acclimatizing yourself? You can be a success at the college level. Of the National Football League is another step up. But B, if you're taken at the top of the draft in particular, you're also at the top of the draft because you're playing for a bad team.
Yeah, I think that needs to be part of the equation. You know, we judge some of these kids obviously way too early. And let's face it, the Jets and Jacksonville especially, right, in such rebuilding mode. And they're terrible. And, you know, if you look back at it, guys, you think about Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and Patrick Mahomes. There's four that didn't play at all in their first season. And, you know, they've turned out pretty well as quarterbacks in the NFL. And then others we know that, like a Justin Herbert last year, who came in with a much better situation and looked a lot better. So, yeah, I mean, I think it comes back to the, do you want to shell shock a young kid to the point where he totally loses his confidence, or do you have enough faith that you drafted a kid who's going to be able to weather the storm, weather all the mistakes, weather the learning process, weather all the losses, and not blink? And, you know, we're going to see with the guys like Zach Wilson and especially Trevor Lawrence if they are that type of quarterback.
Yeah, and people go back to Aikman. They talk about Manning taking a beating, Duke. I just look at it, and I keep going back now and seeing Sam Darnold and what has happened with him. And if I was running a team, I just can't for the life of me think how you wouldn't take the Alex Smith route where you would have a veteran guy. And I really do. You just watch these. And, hey, I understand, as Dreher pointed out, you're going to a bad team. But how hard it is to make that jump from college to the NFL to start with, not to mention the physicality. Like Justin Fields, by the end of yesterday, I thought he was going to actually leave or start crying. Like, he looked like he never played football in his life.
Yeah, and you know what? That's totally on Matt Nagy for what he did to him yesterday. I mean, he did not give him any chance. He tried to run the same offense that Andy Dalton was running, and, you know, you just can't do that. But, you know, I mean, the biggest wild card in the whole conversation is injuries, right? Because, you know, you can say, I'm going to make the kid stay in there and throw and make mistakes and all that. But when he gets hit time after time after time, and what happened to Joe Burrow last year, that's the big risk that you run, is the kid not just going to get emotionally beat up, but is he going to get physically beat up to the point where, you know, maybe his career gets curtailed as a result. So that's a lot of conversations and a lot of discussions that have to happen in terms of how you handle those guys.
That's why you got to invest in your offensive line. Okay,
yeah,
tonight,
exactly.
What do you got tonight?
Well, you know what? I mean, Dallas is so good on offense, but they always seem to find ways to screw things up with clock management, decision-making thing. I'll be very curious to see how Philadelphia handles them and if they can get enough out of that offense, but I think Dallas has probably got too much for them tonight.
All right.
Sorry, JR.
Unfortunately, that's probably the way it's going to go. But hey, it's a rebuild season if they lose, and if they win, I'll be doing nothing but crow tomorrow. So I'm in a no-lose situation here, dude. All right, appreciate the insight as always. We'll chat again next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
All right, there's Duke Ellingson joining us in the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators.